God good or what? I said, is God good or what? Huh? My.
You love the Lord this morning? You know how much He loves you. He'll move heaven and earth for you. You know that? Because He loves you.
That's something?
Huh? Just sitting there listening to Jamie's devotion there is like, my. I guess I still believe that God is a miracle working God. Huh? How about you? Huh? Yeah. Several things this week. My oldest brother Jack passed away about 4 months ago. My next oldest brother Ron ended up in the hospital Thursday. Put on like 30 pounds of water weight. His liver quit working. I guess with medication or something he was on that messed up his liver. He has a diseased liver as it is, so long story short, he's doing very well, though. Probably going to get out of hospital today. It's like, you know what? God is a miracle-working God, isn't He? Huh? Isn't that precious? I got a call last night at 7 o'clock. Jesse said, hey, can you preach tomorrow? I'm like, sure. Huh? Sure. Right? Huh? You guys, yeah, and I asked several people this morning, but nobody was interested. Not a soul. Not one soul. You know, I don't know when you do this, you have like sermons, you've got outlines and stuff. The Lord wasn't going to let me do that this time. So, He said, no, we're going to do something different today. Okay. So, this is all on Him. Okay? Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's get started. Father, we humbly come before Your throne. My goodness. Father, we don't have words to just thank You for everything You do for us. Father, we just see how Your hand worked with Les and my brother. So many other things that You did this week that we may not even know. You saved their life from something, Father. I just can do nothing but praise You, Father, and thank You. Well, and ask for Your strength and Your leading, Your guiding this morning. As we come to Your Word, we're going to look at the things that You have for us to see. And I just thank You for that, Father. I thank You that we're able and willing to be used by You. And You're able and willing to use us. Oh, we thank You. We praise You. Because we know what we are. And You still use us to Your glory. We praise You. We thank You, Father. Be in our midst this morning. Apply Your Holy Spirit to our hearts and our lives that we can just know You more and apply You to everything we do. Father, in Your precious, in Your holy, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior's name, we pray. Amen. You know that the Bible has fear not in it 365 times? You ever hear that? Fear not 365 times. How many days in a year? 365. And that's coincidence, right? Huh? Isn't that something? God says, fear not! Fear not! It's kind of interesting. We're going to be in Isaiah today. When I got done doing this, looking at all these verses and stuff, and it was like, this is a less sermon. You know what I'm saying? This is a less sermon. This is something less would preach. And I thought, all right, so this must have been something that God wanted said regardless of what happened. Amen. So, we're going to start out a little bit. I got some verses we're going to look at. I don't know how this is going to go here, but Psalm 147. And I don't know if you guys notice or not. I read verses of Scripture between songs. I don't know if you notice that or not. But I always try to get in a song because it's a praise. It's praise. It's praise. You say, praise the Lord. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for His strength. You know what I mean? I don't think that adds something to it because this word is alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Isn't that cool? Huh? And we can carry it in our hand. Isn't that something? You carry a sword. Do you carry your sword to church with you? I do. Praise the Lord. And it don't mean I'm any better than anybody else. But I'm an old school guy. I like to feel that book. I'm that guy. I like that book. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people have got Bibles on everything there is known to man. That's fine. I just like to feel that book in my hands when I'm reading. You know what I mean? In Psalm 147, we'll start in verse 1, because it says, "Praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God, for He is gracious and lovely. Praise is becoming and appropriate. The Lord is building up Jerusalem. He is gathering together the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds, curing their pain and their sorrow." Wow. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, curing their pains and their sorrows. And that kind of sounds pretty nice, don't it? Sounds kind of nice. Yeah, that sounds pretty nice. Verse 4 says, "He determines and counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by their name." Can you imagine? They don't even know how many stars are in the sky. They don't know. They think they do, and then they think, "We found another galaxy. We found somewhere else. We can see really, 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 really far away. And there's stars out there too." God says, "You know what? I call them all by name. Every one of them. They know my voice. And I call them by name." Isn't that something? He calls them by name. Did a study, and I can't remember the numbers. You ever read the verse that says God knows every hair on your head? Depending on who you are, you have more hair than other people. And I'm not talking about people, older people that's losing hair. I'm talking about, you know, different color hairs, you have more hairs on your head. I think blondes maybe have the most hair on their heads, maybe. I think. But a guy did a study, and it's like 700 trillion hairs in the world. That's a lot of hairs to keep track of, isn't it? Get one on my shirt or something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, God knows every one of your hairs. Isn't that something? You think, that's pretty big. But there is zillion, quadzillion, bazillion, gazillion stars. God calls them my name. And that same God who knows them stars, He says, "You know what? I'll heal your broken heart." Wow. Verse 5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is inexhaustible and boundless. The Lord lifts up the humble and the downtrodden. He casts the wicked down to the ground." "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise with the harp, the lyre to our God, who covers the heavens with the clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives the beasts his food, the young ravens that for which they cry. He delights not in the strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear him, and those who hope in his mercy and loving kindness." Huh? The Lord takes pleasure in those who worship, fear him, and want to know him and spend time with him. The Lord takes pleasure in that. Isn't that great? Huh? Isn't that exciting? You know what he's singing this morning? Dougie's going to be gone for a couple weeks. He's playing at the Prairie Peddlers. He's going to be gone for a couple weeks. So, you know what I mean? The music kind of there, you know. Julie does an awesome job. By the way, Julie, you do an awesome job. And the ladies are saying they do an awesome job. And I think when we're singing these songs, I'm thinking, listen to these words. It's like, wow. Our God is amazing, isn't he? He's amazing. He's an amazing God. And you can read in verses and stuff, and it's like, wow. The God that can name all the stars, every one. You know, scientists say some of those stars you see are already burned out. And they're so far away that their light's now just getting to you so you can see it. That don't make any sense, does it? That's a long ways off, isn't it? Sounds kind of weird to me. Sounds like conspiracy theory. What do you think? Huh? But you know what I'm saying? They say some of them stars are already burned out. They're not there anymore. God says, "You know what? I know every one of them by name. If I tell it to move, it will move." Isn't that something? And that same God takes pleasure in you when you spend time with Him. When you want to be with Him. Huh? And that same God moves here on the earth. When you ask for prayer for something, and you see God move, and you think, wow. And things happen, you think, what in the world are you doing, God, with that? That's a mess. How come you ain't doing something with that? I'm looking at the government thinking, that's a mess. How come God ain't doing something with that? And he says, I am mad. I'm given you the responsibility. Pray for them people that you think are really crazy. Yeah. He said, I'm giving you the responsibility to pray for them so that I can use wisdom. I can give them wisdom. You need to be praying for them people. You pray for our government? Wow, we need to be. Every one of us needs to be praying for our government. Because you know what? The Bible tells us to pray for those in authority. Even when you look at that authority, you think, I don't know if I want to do that. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 is it can be a life verse. It is a life verse. It's one of those fear not verses. Huh? Fear not. And I was reading this, and Isaiah was a prophet, you know, and Israel was messing up so bad. If you ever go back and read the book of Numbers and just look at how much stupidity Israel did, they whined and cried about, they're a bunch of whiners. We ain't got water, food. Huh? You know what I'm saying? You get thirsty, what do? You go, Dad. Huh? That what we do? They didn't have that ability in the desert. You ever walk out in the woods and you're thirsty and you look around and think, there's just nothing out here to drink. There ain't nothing out here. You ever been in a desert? You ever been to a desert? Wow, yeah. Lindsay's been to a desert. Pretty nice, isn't it? Nice warm in the daytime and nice cool night. Nice, huh? It's a change of seasons every day. That's pretty cool, isn't it, right? Huh? There's no place to get water. And if you go without water for long enough, well, they say 3 days, you die. If you don't have water, 3 days, you can die. Your brain is 70-some percent moisture, water. So when you start losing water, you start going, You know what I mean? You start having issues because you can't think right because your brain's water. You can go 40 days without food, but you can only go 3 days without water. Wow. So I can kind of understand why they whined and cried about water. But they whined and cried about everything. They just whined and cried. And I turn on the TV and I think, we're just like them. We're a bunch of whiners and criers. You know what I'm saying? We are. We're a bunch of whiners. God just has to sit. I think he's just got to say, There's a verse of scripture that I read. I want to read it. Isaiah 57. Because it's coming to mind. All right, Father, let's look at it. Isaiah 57. And we're going to start in verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, listen to this. Well, thus says the high and lofty one. He who inhabits eternity. Wow. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent. Verse 15 says that God is high, lofty. He's eternity, God of eternity. He says, but I'll be with you. Humble yourself with me. Verse 16 says, for I will not contend forever. God's saying, listen, I'm not going to contend with you forever. Neither will I be angry always. God says, man, I'm not going to be mad all the time. For if I did stay angry, the spirit of man would faint and be consumed before me. Wow. And my purpose in creating the souls of men would be frustrated. God's saying, you know what? I'm big. I'm in eternity. I've been to tomorrow. I've been to next week. I've been to next year. I've already been there. I know what's going to happen. I know what's going down. I'm the God of eternity. I've been there. I can come and go as I please. He says, you know what? I'm high and lofty. I'm big. I want to spend time with you. You humble yourself. That same God who can count the stars and knows their name. He says, you know what? I want to spend time with you. How much does he love you? My gosh. And he says, you know what? It's a good thing I don't stay mad all the time. You know any angry people? Do you know any angry people? Go driving in a big city one time. There's a lot of angry people. Huh? They use their horn and sign language and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of angry people in there. You know what I mean? They're angry. God says, you know what? Good thing I'm not angry all the time, because I can just consume you. The spirit of man, I would just consume you. You know you have to choose sometimes not to be angry? When somebody gives you some sign language when you're driving down the road, you have to choose not to be angry. You have to choose to go, praise the Lord, love you. Huh? You ever do that? Huh? You ever do that? Try that sometime. See if the anger level is going a little higher. Huh? I love you. Huh? Yeah! I'm thinking, wow, you can mess with these people all day long. This is fun, right? You have to choose to be angry. You have to allow yourself to get angry. And then it's a choice to, I'm not going to be angry anymore. And God says, you know what? I choose not to be angry at you all the time because of all your dumbness, Matt, you do. He says, because if I didn't let my anger go, I would consume you like, you'd be like a puff of smoke. Gone. Let's go back to Isaiah 41. Verse 10. This is kind of a good verse. Verse 10 says, fear not. The Amplified says, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. You ever been in a situation when you just think, I'm not going to be afraid of this. I'm not going to be afraid of this. You ever think that? You ever have to get up and talk in front of somebody with a couple hours of study time? Fear not. Huh? Fear not. It says right here, there's nothing to fear, for I am with you. And you know what? That's why you can get up here and do what you do. That's why you can get up here and sing, right? You're scared to death. you're scared to death, right? Huh? But you know when you get up here, it says, God says, fear not, for I'm with you. And he says, don't look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Wow. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. God says, even when you look around, ever been in a situation you look around and it's like, this is kind of bad. Watch the news. This is kind of bad. Huh? You know what I'm saying? You think of it, you look around, boy, this is kind of bad. God says, don't fear. He says, I'm with you. What can man do to you? What can man do to you? He can cuss you out. It can be painful. He can say bad things about you. That's painful. He can gossip about you. That's pretty painful. He can beat you with a glove. That's really painful. Huh? He can shoot you with a gun. Probably hurts. Just saying. Huh? Lindsay could blow you up. She's experienced at blowing things up. She's very good at that. She could blow you up. That's got to be painful for a little bit, right? Seems like. You know, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, God's still got control, doesn't he? At the end of the day, when I take my last breath, I step into eternity. All this stuff, Lindsay blowing me up with a bomb, won't matter. Huh? It won't matter. It won't matter. I'm going to be in the presence of God. And then, where's my fear going to be then? Wow. We talked about that a little bit in the Sunday school this morning. It's like, boy, there's some people that, you know, you got to get along with people here on earth, but there's some of them people, I don't want them to go to heaven. I don't want to have to deal with them up there. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You ever have people like that in your life? I don't want that. Yuck! Yeah, I don't want that guy in heaven. Huh? God's going to do some big changes, isn't he? Huh? He is. God says, fear not, for my righteous right hand. God says, my right hand, I'm going to take care of you. And I told you, remember last week, walking with God, strong with him, hand in hand. Can you imagine? You're holding the hand of the most powerful being in the complete universe ever. Huh? You imagine you're walking beside the most powerful being that ever was, ever will be, period, exclamation mark. Nothing's bigger, nothing's stronger, nothing's more powerful, and you're walking with them hand in hand?
What do I got to be afraid of?
Huh?
There's a song that says, don't tell God about your problem. Tell your problem how big your God is.
Huh?
Yeah. Verse 11. God says, you know, behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against you,
wow,
talk about that anger thing, shall be put to shame and confounded. They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, what's he say? For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, fear not, I will help you.
Isn't that something? God says, fear. He says, fear.
Nah, I'm going to read verse 14. You ain't going to like it, but I'm going to read it anyway. Fear not, you worm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying, God, this is God. God says, you fear not, you worm. You know what I'm saying?
I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know, he's talking to some guy, I don't know, you know, came from, you know, we believe that we were created by God, and he would believe that we came from an amoeba or some silly thing. And he says, yeah, my grandpa squished your grandpa.
I'm like, that's just wrong. That's wrong.
But I'm thinking, wow. So God says, you worm, you man of Israel, I'll help you. I'll help you. Your Redeemer. The Holy One of Israel.
Wow.
God says, even though you're just a worm, even though you're kind of nothing, I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just getting that. This is what I'm getting out of this verse. Even though you're kind of nothing, I love you, worm. Huh? God's saying, I love you, worm. I love you.
Huh? He does it. I love you, even though you're a worm. I love you.
Don't be afraid, because I'm going to hold your hand. And I think, this is not any terms of endearment. It's hard to make someone believe that you really love them when you call them a worm. I mean, I'm just saying, you think about it. If I told someone, hey, you're a worm and I love you, no, prayer would go over well, right? You know what I'm saying? God says, you know what? I'm the Holy One of Israel. And the Holy One of Israel is the Holy One of you. He's the Holy One of the church. He is the Holy One of the church. Because Israel rejected our Lord and Savior. And that's why he went to the Gentiles. You know who the Gentiles are? You and me.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So all the promises that Israel has are yes in God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So when he says, you fear not, you worm, I got your right hand, I got your back, I got this.
When we come up against something, wow. You know, here lately there's been a lot of physical stuff. Ever notice that? People have a lot of... I mean, the COVID, I think, has really brought a spotlight on that. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people right now are in the hospital. I know one lady that I know, she actually been in the hospital a week. They just now put her on a ventilator because she has COVID. And she put her in a coma, induced a coma. I mean, she's pretty bad. And I'm thinking, and they say, well, once they go in a ventilator, it's done. And I'm thinking, okay. I can think that way. Then I can think, you know what? I know this guy. I know this God. He says, don't be afraid. I know this God that says, you know what? I'm more than capable of taking care of that problem. You know what? Your heart going to quit working? I'm more than capable of making that thing beat some more. Huh? You know what? I'm more than capable. Huh? I'm capable. So what happens when God doesn't answer our prayers? Sometimes our prayers are answered in different ways. And I wonder sometimes. I always come back to people that had it really hard. Johnny Erickson Tata, she's a neat lady. She has touched billions of people's lives. She has an awesome ministry. She's a very motivational talking person. She's been paralyzed from the neck down since she was, 15 or 16? Very young. She's had two bouts now of breast cancer.
She's in pain every day because of her, because she is can't feel. She can feel. She can't move anything. They have to move her all the time. She has all these sore pain, joint, all this stuff hurts. And when you see her, she is just, oh, this is great. God has been so good to me. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Huh? Most people would be miserable, right? They would be miserable. And she has turned that into a ministry that has touched millions of people's lives. And it's like, wow, how does she do that? Because she knows who he is. You know, even when you're able to do nothing. I had an interesting conversation with my uncle this morning, and I thought it kind of fit in with this. My uncle went to the military when he was young. My uncle's 88 years old, so it's been a long time ago. His mother's cousin had a stroke, was in a rest home. Couldn't do anything. She was incapacitated. And he said when he was in the military for 2 years, he got a letter from her every week. She would have a nurse sit down, and she would tell her what she wanted to write. The nurse would write the letter, and she would send it to him every week. She could do nothing. She was physically unable to do anything. But she touched my uncle's life, and he remembers that 80 years later. So you know what? We just don't know what effect we're going to have on people, do we? We don't know what God's going to do through us. I know this sounds like a repeat, but I'm thinking, you know what? You ever think, boy, what can God do? You ever think, what God can do through me? You ever wake up in the morning and say, you know what, Lord, give me an opportunity. I'm scared. Don't do it. Huh? Be careful what you ask for. Because if you ask for an opportunity, it might get you out of your little comfort area. You might have to take a step in the direction of like, this is kind of bad. That's a rough looking crowd down there. I don't know if I'm going to talk to them or not. And the Lord says, you need to get out and talk to them people. Take my gun with me. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You had to see Lindsay's face. She's like, yeah. She's thinking a grenade launcher. That's what she's thinking. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, if God puts you in a position like that to go talk to somebody, there's a reason. Somebody's heart has been softened. There's some situations going on that God needs you to speak into that person's life. That's something. God says, fear not, for I am with you. If we can remember those two little words, fear not, add the back part to it, he is with us, and know who he is. Isn't that something? I don't have too much else. I had another verse of scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Written, Paul's in prison, and he's just really positive. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says that we have been given an inheritance. In Ephesians chapter 1 talks about you were predestined, you were preordained, God chose you before the foundation of the world to be his son, to be his daughter. We might as well look at it. Ephesians chapter 1, just a couple books to the right. Flip really fast. Ephesians chapter 1. This is written by a man who's in prison. It was written in prison when he was in Rome. And it's interesting to me in verse 2, he says, you know what? May grace, God's unmerited favor, and spiritual peace, which means peace with God, harmony, unity, and undisturbedness. I like that. Undisturbedness. Yours from God our Father. From the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, my blessings be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. What? Verse 4, even as in his love, he chose us. He actually picked us out for himself as his own in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, consecrated, set apart for him and blameless in his sight, even above reproach, before him in love. You mean when I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, My sins are forgiven me. God doesn't look at me like a worm anymore. He doesn't look at me like a piece of junk anymore. He doesn't look at me as someone who was against Him. He doesn't look at me as someone who's a sinner. Because I'll tell you what, guys, I'm more sinner than I am a saint. That's the truth. And God knows that. And He still uses me. And He still walks with me. He still holds my hand. He still upholds me. He still strengthens me. He still gives me some help. What if He takes it all away? I don't know. Maybe I'll come dragging in here on a stretcher or something. Maybe I'll talk to you on a stretcher. I don't know. You know what? God's using me. And He's using you too. Every one of you, He's using you. Every one of you. And He knew that before the foundation. We say, well, what choices do I have? God knew where I'd be already. It's interesting to see how we come to where we are. The older you get, the more of those circumstances that have made us who we are, that have tempered us into who we are, that have given us the ability to have sympathy, compassion to other people in situations similar. God's still using you. Verse 11. It says, in Him we also were made God's heritage, His portion, and we obtained an inheritance. We have been foreordained, chosen, and appointed beforehand in accordance with His purpose, who works out everything in agreement with the counsel and design of His own will. God works everything out. Whew. You know, when we were raising our kids, it was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Whether they got some strange ideas. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. You know what I'm saying? I think anybody that's a parent's all been there. We've all been there. You know, it's really amazing to see how the Lord turns situations that are bad into situations that are good. Life learning experiences. Huh? Praise the Lord. I'm going to shut up. I think the Lord told me I need to shut up. I just hope you got something out of this today. We can't be afraid of what's going to come tomorrow. We can't be afraid of what we're going to have to deal with tomorrow. We have to embrace it that God has already been there. God has been to tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen. He's got everything set up for you. So you step and walk in His will. It's going to work out. Even sometimes when it doesn't look like it is. Maybe it's not working out the way I want it. I want. That's what the Israelites did. I want water. I want food. That's what they did. We need to be walking in God's will. Say, God, pray it tomorrow. You wake up in the morning, talk to the Lord, say, you know what, Lord? What do you want me to do today? What situation do you want me to deal with today, Father? Get ready. It's going to be a good ride. Huh? It's going to be some fun. Huh? And maybe tomorrow night when you come back and get to bed, you'll think, whoo, oh, that was good. Huh? Praise the Lord. Whoo, don't do that again, Lord. I ain't going to ask that no more. Whoo, man. You know what I'm saying? Just might move you out of your comfort zone. Just might think, you know what? That was cool. I like that. Fear not. Lord, hold your hand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father. Father. It is so good to be in your presence this morning, Father. It's good to be in your house. It's good to be in the presence with your saints, Father. These precious men and women who come here to listen to me babble, Father, and I just praise you for that. I praise you, Father, you use all the people that speak the word here in this church as your mouthpiece. As your ambassador, as your teacher, as your guider. Oh, Father, we just praise you, Father, for using us because we know what we are, because we're nothing without you. I just praise you, Father. Thank you for this time. Speak your word. We can look at you, see how awesome you are, know that you're our God, that you love each and every one here. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we just thank you again for this, all you've done Well, Father, we're just looking to you and just giving you the praise and the glory. We thank you for the grace and mercy you bestowed upon each and one here at this church. Praise you. Love you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you want to do the offering, Matt? You want to just have them come up and put it in something, or you want to pass something around? Or okay. So we're going to pass something around here. The girls have been nominated, looks like. They knew about it beforehand, I'm sure. Praise the Lord. The praise team comes forward. The elders come forward. This is a time we always offer. And this is a weekly offering we make to you to come forward, be prayed for any situation that might develop. You want prayed for, no matter what it is. Praise the Lord for that. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is a time for you also. We're just here for you. We're going to pray for you.